What's up, guys? Today is Tuesday, October 19th, 2021. My name is Justin Coffin, and this is the 330 Sports Show. Joe Danier is going to be in and out probably today joining me, but we're going to talk a lot today about some of the aftermaths of the Browns-Cardinals game. We'll talk a little bit about the NFL, college football. The NBA actually tips off tonight, which is crazy. October is probably the busiest sports month of the year. Just a lot going on, Major League Baseball playoffs. So we're going to get into all that stuff. If you would like to call in, our phone lines are open, 330-595-1600. Again, that's 330-595-1600. We are down here at Youngstown Studios. Make sure to follow Youngstown Studios and my page at 330 Sports Show, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. So again, one more time, phone lines are open, 330-595-1600. In case you didn't get it that first five times I said it. But we are going to start with the Cleveland Browns. I was in Cleveland on Sunday, and, I did the, the pregame tailgates. I didn't actually go to the game, but I had a lot of fun up there. I got to give a shout out to the Top Dog tailgate. They invited me up there. I was able to go. I had a few drinks, maybe a few too many drinks. I felt good Monday morning, but I may have been in bed by 9 o'clock on Sunday night. But a good time pregame, during the game, not so much. Obviously the Browns come away a big loser in that game, 37-14 over the Cardinals. So we'll start, throwing some visuals up here at you guys and stuff. But I want to start by basically saying this is the first time in the Kevin Stefanski era, Joe, that we have lost two games in a row, back to back. We had that awful loss to Baltimore week one last year. Bounce back. I think we won the next four or five games. We had that awful game against the Steelers, that first game about this time last year, bounce back, go on another winning streak. So we're unable to bounce back after that loss versus the Chargers. So, I guess your overall thoughts to,
can I tell you something I hate weeks about being a Browns fan?
Yeah.
Something goes wrong and you want to freaking fire everybody. I get so sick of that.
Mm-hmm.
Get rid of Stefanski. He's a bum. Baker's not the guy we were looking for. I hate that. Hate it.
That's a great point. Everything, and it's not just Browns fans. I don't want to get off on the wrong foot. Steelers fans do it. Cardinals fans do it. We all know the New York fans do it. Yeah, the Chicago fans do it. It's everywhere. But you are so right, because the NFL is so reactionary week to week. You would assume the sky is falling. And right now in Cleveland, it doesn't look great with all the injuries. But this Browns team, healthy, is a fantastic, fantastic team. Have they played like it? Not necessarily. There's been three good games and there's been three bad games, and honestly, the Chargers game, the Chiefs game weren't overall that bad, but the defense has been giving up a lot of points. So that's where we got to get that. But back to your point too, Kevin Stefanski is a great, great coach, and he is the perfect coach for the Browns. Has he made some mistakes this year? 100%, no doubt. He has made a lot of mistakes. There's some times where he'll be more aggressive, not kick a field goal, not take the points, but my thinking on that, if you convert 50% of those times, you're actually plus 1 point,
right?
Rather than kicking two field goals, which are not guaranteed to make either. You can see, you remember last week, the Chargers were just going for it, fourth down. And it worked out for them. They tried that again this week against Baltimore. It backfired horribly on them. Right. So some weeks it's going to work, some weeks it's not going to work. And I think you have to pick your spots when you get to later in the season and bigger games and maybe the playoffs and things like that. But, that's kind of where I sit on it. Now with Baker, again, too, I think a lot of people are caught up in this contract. He has not been signed long-term. We've picked up the fifth year option for next year. He again is in his fourth year and he's got a long way to go. He is not an elite quarterback. He is not in that top five group. He's not Tom Brady. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Aaron Rodgers. Josh Allen, maybe you put in that group. Lamar Jackson, that's arguable. But he is in, I think, that second tier down. And I think when all the pieces are around Baker healthy, he's the quarterback you want for the Browns. He's good. He's solid. He's got playmakers around him. But you can see the last couple of weeks, they've been without their all-pro right tackle, Jack Conklin. They've been without their first-round pick last year, Jedrick Wills. They have been out. Nick Chubb is missed last week. He's going to miss this week again. Kareem Hunt is going to miss several weeks. They've been out Jarvis Landry. That is a huge loss for the Browns. So let's not put all this, I hate to use a lame pun, but let's not shoulder this all on Baker here. I think that, I mean, that Hail Mary he threw was like 60 some yards in the air. It's not his throwing shoulder that's bothering him. It's that left shoulder. And apparently it's a fully torn labrum, which sounds painful as hell. I've never had a torn labrum, but I can't imagine it feels great, especially when JJ Watt's landing on top of you. So I don't know. To your point though, you know, we don't need to burn it down. Right. I mean, for God's sakes, this is still one of the best teams in the NFL. Are we in a good spot right now? Not necessarily, no. But if you bounce back, win on Thursday, you get to 4-3. You can look ahead and get kind of a mini bye heading into the Steelers, your number one rival in your first division game. So that's kind of what I'm
looking
at.
You know what? When you watch teams that sort of have like eras of winning and going to the Super Bowl and contenders, you pretty much take the Belichicks. You know, they play their game no matter who they're playing. Mm-hmm. They don't try to pull off fancy stuff. They don't try to play the analytics. You know, they get behind in some games and they play their consistent thing. I think what's worked against the Browns this year and why there's so many injuries, because they wanted to win the game so bad. Mm-hmm. They even extended themselves beyond what they were capable of doing and put themselves in bad situations. It's the law of averages.
Sure.
You know, if you have Myles Garrett, who's I feel is pretty physically fit, right? Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. If you have him gasping for air and tired in a game, you overextended the dude. And when you're overextended is where your injuries happen.
Okay. I could see that point. Where I'm going to push back on you a little bit on that is it's football. And I think injuries are 100% guaranteed. You know, it's just unfortunately right now, it's like when it rains, it pours, because you're losing so many guys right now. So many people are down. I want you, can you put up this screen here? Look at this injury report. Literally,
is the whole team.
There are literally 20 people over here. I'm going to move my microphone over so I can read them all. But Baker's on there, and apparently he's going to play. Nick Chubb, he went on the IR. Nick Chubb did not go on the IR. Kareem Hunt did. But Nick Chubb is most likely going to be out this Thursday. You know, it's a quick turnaround, but he is not like officially out yet. We have Jed Wills, Jack Conklin, J.C. Treader. J.C. Treader's on the injury report every week. He's like me. He's day to day. You know what I mean? So he could be playing. Most likely he's going to play, but he's just one of those guys that misses a lot of practice. I have not heard the status of Jarvis Landry yet, but those are just on the offensive side of the ball. So you're going to get a lot of D'Ernest Johnson this weekend. You're going to get the rookie Felton from UCLA. They activated a guy from their practice squad that people seem to really like in the preseason. His last name's Kelly. I don't remember him a whole lot.
I guess
he's this big
Peyton Hill is looking type. Guy.
Yeah, he's a big dude. So, you know, and I'm sure he's going to get a handful of carries, but nothing too crazy. But, you know, if D'Ernest Johnson can get you 10 to 15 carries, and you know, as a unit, they can get you 100 yards rushing. I mean, that offensive line is still good. You know, your wide receivers are still good. There's a lot of people out there to help this offense move. If Baker's able to play, and he said in a press conference today he's ready to go. He said he's ready to play, ready to get out there, as long as you know no one else shuts him down.
And I'm telling you, I believe in the depth chart. But we're pushing the limits of what a depth chart could even do.
No doubt. And that's why, you know, I think the NFL is supremely different from college football. College football, you have 85 scholarships, and a lot of times you even have like 100-110 people on your roster. You know, so if you lose some depth, you're playing like freshmen or younger kids, whereas in the NFL, you're playing undrafted guys, unproven guys, and you know,
but I'm telling you, they got nothing to lose. This is their time to shine, and they will put it all on that field.
Again, I'm going to push back on you. You know what they have to lose? A football game on Thursday. So, you know, I don't want to, you know, I am not doom and gloom right now. I am. Okay. Let me ask you this.
Sure.
On a 1 to 10 scale, 1 being not worried at all, 10 being the season's over. Where are you at on the panic scale right now?
I'm going to say like a 4, only because I think injuries are going to come even more heavily now.
Sure.
Now the good thing is you got people that have less experience, but they're fresh. They don't have the injuries that the opposing team. Mm-hmm. So that gives you a little bit of an advantage, but then you got that inexperience too, sure, that guys are going to be missing assignments and, you know, leaving some guys out to dry. And that's where mm-hmm. I think those injuries are likely.
I'm going to go right in the middle. I'm going to say a 5 because I think short term, I'm a little bit more nervous of the injury situation. I really don't know Baker's prognostication for the rest of the season.
Right.
If he's out, he's the guy. And Case Keenum, serviceable backup for a game, 2 games, 3 games here and there. But if Baker is out for the year, then we're in big trouble. With our defense has not played up to snuff. You know, you're going to get back Hunt. You're going to get back Chubb. You're still going to have those wide receivers and talented, you know, skill positions, not to mention a solid offensive line.
So I got a question for you, Coach.
He could be serviceable. Yeah.
So last year it was all ACL tears. Now it's all high ankle and knee. What the heck is the difference between when these things happen in such dense packets?
Yeah. Doctor wise, I can't say why, but it does. It feels like it's a lot of leg injuries, mm-hmm. Like soft tissue type injuries. Yeah. Like calf strains and hamstrings.
But it's not like they're going after the legs. These are none of them I saw were like helmets hitting or whatever.
Oh yeah, Kareem Hunt, he wasn't even touched. And that's what made me nervous. I thought it was an Achilles tear. And I thought he might have been done for the year, you know, with an Achilles. But luckily, it's a calf. Nick Chubb was a calf. I think, you know, some of the linemen are, you know, banged up. Bruised knees and twisted ankles. JOK went on the IR today. That's going to be a big loss for the Browns.
Is it happening? Are you paying attention to other teams and other teams have the same kind of things?
Yeah. And I don't think to this extent, 20 people on your injured practice list is pretty significant, yeah. But you know, every team has to deal with injuries. Seattle just had, you know, to play their first game without Russell Wilson in his career. It's just a part of the game and it's an unfortunate part of the game. And the Browns are
on the very much losing end of that.
Very much. Yeah. So hopefully it regresses to the mean and, you know, they can sort of even out and get some guys healthy and ready to play. So the defensive side of the ball seems to be the healthier side of the ball. You know, obviously JOK is a big loss. They have some corners that are banged up, but it looks like they're going to play. So on the defensive end, it's more of, can you clean up the scheme? Can you put these guys in better position? And honestly, in the Arizona game, there was about 3 or 4 plays where I was scratching my head. Like, you know, they gave up a 3rd and 21. They gave up a 4th down touchdown. They gave up another touchdown on 3rd and 10 where 4 guys were surrounding DeAndre Hopkins and not one of them could tackle him. And 3 of them were your better defenders.
Well, now, like, so there isn't anybody on the team that knows the playbook, so you could do whatever you want.
Well, they better all damn well know the playbook if they're on the roster, so they better know the playbook, maybe not as well as some of these guys, but
this is like backyard we'll football. Go.
let me put this quote up and let me get your opinion on this. Sure. So this is Dan Orlovsky. He's, you know, he's one of the talking heads on ESPN, former quarterback for the Detroit Lions. But he said the Browns, and he said he really likes the Browns and he still likes them, but he said the Browns are the most disappointing team in football. They have a 6-0 roster with a 3-3 record. So what's your thoughts on that quote?
Well, Well, there, you know, the teams that we've played outside of the division and the scores on the board, I don't see any of those losses as something that I'm embarrassed about. I think we were in every game. Yeah. I think that the teams that hit us are strong teams. There weren't any bad teams that beat up on us, you know?
Yeah, and I agree. You know, your three losses are to Kansas City, who has been to the Super Bowl the last 2 years. The Chargers, who are
very strong,
one of the best teams in all of football. And even though they got smoked this weekend, and the Cardinals, the only undefeated team left in football at six.
So if I'm going to lose to anything, I mean, that's a pretty good selection to lose to.
Exactly. But again, I think the Browns, to be considered a great or elite team, you have to start winning some of those games, maybe not necessarily all of them, but you gotta start closing the deal. And they had no business in this Cardinals game. It just was ugly from the get. So I don't know. We got to clean it up. And there's a lot to clean up. Let's start. If you don't mind putting this graphic up too, let's talk about the defense real quick. So again, we talked about, they gave up 33 points against the Chiefs, 47 against the Chargers, and 37 against the Cardinals. Right now, they are the 24th ranked defense overall in the NFL. They are giving up about 25 points a game. They're only allowing, though, 307 yards a game. I think that's a little bit due to that Bears game that was kind of an anomaly. They gave up like 45 yards in that entire game. But here's the big stat that I saw this morning. The Browns are 28th in the NFL on third down conversions. So I don't know what the opponents are converting the actual percentage, but the Browns are the fourth worst team in the NFL on stopping teams on third down. And that's your money down. You have to make it.
That's the free throw, right?
Exactly.
If you can't hit free throws, right, then you got no business on the court.
Or even for any NBA fans, it's like, they used to do that 3-point competition, and then the fifth ball was the money ball, but that one was worth two. It like just meant a little bit more. So third down is your money down. You have to make those stops, and teams like the Chargers and the Bills, you're going to have to stop them on fourth down too in some scenarios. So again, I don't know. I don't have the answer, but I still am hopeful for this team going forward. I trust in Stefanski. I think if Baker is healthy enough to practice, if he's healthy enough to get out on the field, I think that gives you the best chance to win. If he's not healthy, and I guess I'm going to pose a question to you. If he is, let's just say, let me throw out a hypothetical number. Let's say he's 75% healthy. Would you rather start him or Case Keenum at 100%?
Case Keenum.
Okay.
100%.
Okay. And let him rest up and, you know, hopefully get, you're not going to heal that, you know, in 10 days, but if it gives it a little bit time to rest, you know, you're going to get hit throughout the year. It's just part of the game. But if it can rest, he can get a little bit healthier going into that Pittsburgh games, and you can kind of steal a win from the Broncos.
You know what? I can remember. I wish they made some kind of brace that you could just immobilize it, because he doesn't really need it. If they could just make sure that if he got hit with it. I remember Joe Thomas, he would put those leg braces on there just to protect his knees when he, you know, squared up with the linemen. And if they could just do that, I think it would give him a chance.
And he is wearing some sort of harness. Right. I don't know the bionics of it, but if he can throw the ball 65 yards in the air on that Hail Mary, that was amazing, by the way. But if he can do that, you know, you should be able to check down for a 15-yard pass.
Can I oppose this? Like, they made a big deal about Peoples-Jones going over 100 yards. If you catch one that's over 60 yards, that doesn't count. Like, you can't lay claim to it that you had a 100-yard day.
but to the opposite side of that, too, what about the quarterback who throws the little 5-yard out route and the wide receiver does all the work, but
the
quarterback gets all the passing yards? So, you know, I think it's a little give and take, you know. You know, the ones that get me are the ones, are the little flip pass where it looks like a handoff, but they just toss it in front of them. And, you know, if they take it and they go 70 yards, it's a 70-yard pass,
right?
Even though you or I could literally, you know, just,
it was a handoff. Come on.
It basically should be considered a handoff.
Yeah.
I put up a poll on Twitter this morning. It might be hard to see, but literally in 5 minutes, it had 190 votes on it. But I said, is Thursday a must win game? And I believe it was 90% to 10%, you know, was yes, this is absolutely a must win game. Now, if the Browns were to lose this game, you know, four losses, there is 17 games this year. There are 17 games this year. So again, it's not the end of the world. I think you're going to have to win 10 games to get in the playoffs. So what does that put us at? The Browns have to go 7-4 to get to that 10 to that 10 win mark. Now that's on the conservative side. You want to try to, I had the Browns going 12-5 before the season. You know, they're going to be in a competitive division. The Ravens look better than we thought. The Bengals look better than we thought. But you know, it's going to be, and I'm going to show you a graphic in a couple minutes here, but,
who's on the schedule? The AFC, who does the Browns even play?
They play. Wait, what do you
I
mean?
I don't even know.
Oh, this week?
Yeah.
They got the Broncos coming up.
Oh,
so,
shit.
So okay. No, Denver started 3-0. They've lost their last three.
Okay.
Now Denver's one of those teams that's probably going to beat the bad teams and lose to the good teams. Now, you know, John Gruden just got fired in Vegas.
Are you saying if we beat them, then we're a good team? And if we lose to them, we're a bad team?
Just perhaps
it's what you said.
I mean, we're 3-3. They're 3-3. You all are right. You at the end of the day, you are what your record is, okay. Too, you know. So
right.
So we'll see on that. I don't know. There's a lot to digest there, but we're gonna get into, you know, Thursday. It's nice. We have a Thursday show, and so we'll talk. That we'll kind of get into all that pregame stuff on Thursday
okay.
with the Browns. So let's take a quick look around the NFL, you know, from week six. So the Steelers get the win over Geno Smith and the Seattle Seahawks in overtime. They move to 3-3. So the Browns and the Steelers are technically tied for last right now at 3-3 in the division, which shows you how good our division is. The Ravens are 5-1, Bengals 4-2. And the Steelers and Browns are 3-3. As I mentioned, the Ravens just dominated the Chargers. You know, just shut them down, held them to 6 points, which is incredible. So the Ravens do that. The Bengals also go to Detroit, beat up the Lions, take care of business there. And then the rest of the NFL, the Cowboys get a walk-off win against the Patriots in overtime. Aaron Rodgers literally said to the Chicago fans, I own you. So he's beat the Bears so many times. So Aaron Rodgers just dominates the Bears. They were in that game. The Bears could have easily won that game, and Aaron Rodgers had a late touchdown to kind of put that game away, get him a 10-point win there.
He shaved and he didn't look homeless anymore. That's what it was.
I think he still looked a little bit homeless. Aaron Rodgers, I don't know what the dude's – he's just a different dude. He's very smart. He's very athletic, but he doesn't look smarter or athletic, but he is. You know, he has that look to him. So,
fair enough.
You know, I guess it just is what it is. So, let's see what else around the NFL. The Bills and Titans last night, man. That game was back and forth. I had 7 different lead changes, and the Titans stopped the Bills' 4-game win streak, and they both go to 4-2. And you know, just kind of what you expect around the league, just a lot of, you know, the usual suspects winning easily in their games. So let's take a look, one more look at the AFC and kind of what we're dealing with. And I've scratched off some teams. So I've said the Texans, the Jaguars, who did win their first game this past weekend. They had to go to London to do it, but they went to
Urban.
I think that was the first win in well over a year. 17, 18, 19 games in a row they lost. But Urban and the Jags get their first win. But I'm scratching off the Texans, the Jets, the Jaguars, and the Dolphins. The Dolphins are kind of a big surprise on the bad end this year. The Dolphins, I thought would contend for a playoff spot. They have not looked good. They are 1-5. You know, so I'm scratching off those four teams. But if we look at the AFC, Ravens sitting atop the entire AFC at 5-1, the Chargers at 4-2. What do we got? The Bills, the Titans, and the Bengals, and the Raiders are all at 4-2. The Browns, Steelers, Chiefs, Broncos all at 3-3. And then you got the Colts and the Patriots. I still put them at 2-4 as possible teams that could make the playoffs. So the AFC is going to be very tough. It's going to be tough. So out of those, I think that was 11 or 12 teams there. Only 7 spots of those are available for making the playoffs. And you can pretty much lock in the Bills to win the East. You can pretty much lock in the Titans to win the South. You know, in the West is going to be the Chargers or the Chiefs. And then the North is, you know, right now it looks like the Ravens, but, you know, hopefully the Browns can make a push to get back in there. So, you know, a lot to unpack there, you know, but it's still very early. We're only 6 weeks in, 11 more weeks to go, 12 actually, if you include a bye week. So, you know, we'll see how that all unfolds. Okay, let's change gears now to college football. Ohio State was on bye this weekend. The Penguins were on bye this weekend, but let's talk just kind of at the overall, you know, bigger games from this weekend. So we had Georgia just dominate Kentucky this weekend. Unfortunately, we got to say goodbye to Coach Ed Orgeron at LSU. He is going to, they're going to mutually part ways at the end of the season. You know, so it's going to be tough. There, Cincinnati dominates again. The big upset of the week, though, was Purdue. They go into number 2 Iowa and knock off the number 2 team in the country. So in the last 2 weeks, we've had Alabama lose, number 1, and Iowa. Iowa really had no business being the number 2 team in the country. They're very, very good defensively. They were not on Saturday, and they're very offensively challenged, but you know, the rest of the, you know, top 10 kind of holds like stands pat. Oklahoma looks better, but they benched their starting quarterback for a freshman. And, you know, he threw 5 touchdowns in his, you know, in his first college start. So pretty impressive.
It's good seeing Georgia up there. Like seeing about the top
Georgia's. It's kind of cool. You know, I think Kirby Smart's their coach. He really hasn't been, you know, he's got them to an elite level, but he hasn't, you know, taken that next step of winning a national title. He came very close 4 or 5 years ago, but
we had a lot of years of Alabama, Ohio State, or Wisconsin always cycling through on that, you know, that top spot. So it's good to see someone else up
there. And Oklahoma is another team that's always up there, but Oklahoma, I'm going to say, is going to lose before the season's out. I don't know. I just don't have a good vibe for them. But Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan were all on bye this weekend. Michigan State is holding on to that number 10 spot. I, again, don't think they have any business being in the top 10, but that will eventually, you know, show.
Yeah, where's Tulsa? I thought that they would make their...
Tulsa is still not in the top 25. They have won their last couple games, though. Tulsa, not a terrible team. Not a great team, but not a good team.
Just keep an eye on for it. I hear they're pretty good.
But again, 7 teams in the top 25 lose this weekend. So another interesting, crazy weekend around college football. So now we'll get, again, more to... more college football stuff on Thursday. That was just a quick look at the top 25. I do want to talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers, and it is our top 5 Tuesday. I'll get into that list next after we talk about this, but the NBA starts tonight. The NBA tips off tonight. The Cavs will actually tip off tomorrow night, but they'll be at Memphis. But I wanted to give you kind of a quick look at what maybe to expect from the Cavs this year. So they do have a lot of skill on their team. They have Darius Garland, they have Colin Sexton, which a lot of people, Colin Sexton's kind of, you know, you love him or you hate him. A lot of people want to trade him. A lot of people just love him. He's their favorite player. So, you know, I don't know. We'll see what that means for the Cavs going forward. They brought in a guy named Lauri Markkanen from the Chicago Bulls. Very, very nice wing type player or stretch four, you know, 7-footer that can shoot the 3 ball. You got Kevin Love, who's kind of your veteran, but I think the Cavs are ready to part ways with Kevin Love, and it's probably time.
One injury and...
Yeah. And he, I think they're really going to restrict his minutes to play these younger guys, which they really should do. Kevin Love, you know, again, love him or hate him, he did his thing for the Cavs when it was his time. It's not his time anymore. It's time to turn the page. It's time to move on. And
he's a fan favorite, though. It's tough to
do. He is. I think it's time to move on from the Kevin Love chapter of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Jared Allen, Cavs signed him to a big contract in the offseason. He's going to be your leading rebounder. He'll be, you know, your energy guy, your big defensive guy under the rim. They brought in Marco Rubio.
Marco Rubio.
Glad
to see he's expanded his reach.
Ricky Rubio, excuse me. What is he, a senator? Marco Rubio?
That sounds right.
Okay, well, my Freudian Marco slip Rubio. There. I don't know why Marco no, Rubio was on my
He might be a
there.
Good baller.
Yeah, I'm going to say no. But you got Colin Sexton. They brought in Denzel Valentine. You still got Jenny Osman. And then the number one huge addition, and huge in a sense of height and huge in a sense of possible impact on the court, is going to be Evan Mobley. He was the number three player in the selected in the first round of the NBA draft this year from USC. I've heard him compared to Chris Bosh offensively. I've heard him compared to Anthony Davis defensively. And if you can combine those two, that's setting a pretty high bar for this kid. He's only 20 years old, but he is going to make a nice impact, I think, on the Cavs. And he's going to be right up there for a rookie of the year spot by the end of the year, and hopefully makes a big, big impact on the Cavs this year. Vegas has their over under win total at 26.5. So they're not thinking too highly of the Cleveland Cavaliers this year, but that would be a couple win jump from last year. But let's hope the Cavs can fight for that, you know, one of those final playoff spots there, and, you know, take that next step in the youth progression. You know, they need to start experiencing some winning. They need to take that next step, get competitive, play in some meaningful games late in the year, and hopefully they can do that this year. So a couple key losses this year. They lose Larry Nance to the Portland Trailblazers. You know, that was one of the trades that brought in, I believe that was Lauri Markkanen that came in that trade. And then Taurean Prince, again, they lose him, and that, again, brought in Ricky Rubio, not Marco Rubio. So Freudian slip there. Now I want to get to my top 10 list for this week, top 10 Tuesday. So these are my top 10 players that I expect to make the biggest impact in the NBA this coming season. Not for the next 5 years, not for the next 10 years, not what they've done in their career so far, but what I expect them to do this season and this season alone. So number one, I have Kevin Durant. I honestly think the Brooklyn Nets would have won the NBA title if his foot was 1 inch further behind the three-point line. That he steps on the line, that game goes to overtime instead of winning, and then the Bucks end up winning that series, getting the Eastern Conference Finals, and then winning the NBA title. So I have Kevin Durant as my number one player going into the 2021 season. I have Giannis Antetokounmpo, I believe. Hopefully got that right. You know, I've said Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa, and now Antetokounmpo, Giannis Antetokounmpo. So your pronunciation guide.
On draft night, you were the official pronunciator, so thank you.
Yes, I try to do my best, and I'm sure if I butchered anything, somebody will let me know. an easy name to pronounce, and we all know him. My number three player is LeBron James. As long as LeBron is an NBA player, he's probably going to be the top 10 list. He is entering, I believe, his 19th season in the NBA. I think he's 38 years old. So he is, he's got some miles on that body, but I know he spends upwards of $1 million just on self-care, you know, cryotherapy, you know, massage therapy, nutrition, all that stuff. I'm sure it's probably well over $1 million just on self-care though throughout each year. And
I don't spend that much. Like, not quite that
I,
much.
I, I'm slightly under that budget, but you know, you got to do what you got to do. So he has a little bit more active lifestyle than I do most days. Number four player, you got Luka Doncic. He is just an up and coming rising star. He's still very young, but he has played professional ball in Europe ever since he was a young teenager. And him and the Dallas Mavericks, I think, are trending upward. Number five, I got Steph Curry. Steph Curry is just a phenomenal basketball player, has transcended the way the game is played. He can pretty much pull up and shoot from anywhere and has made the three-pointer pretty much, you know, analytics-wise. We talked about analytics with football, but, you know, the three-point shot in basketball is a must now for any team. You can't, you know, just pound the ball inside as much as you want anymore. It's about, you know, playing outside, playing the wing. The next player I have on this list is more of a stretch four, but he's probably going to play the center spot a lot for the Lakers, is Anthony Davis. Now, a reason the Lakers got knocked out in the first round last year was LeBron wasn't 100% healthy, and Anthony Davis pretty much missed the majority of that season with injuries. So I have him at number six. If he stays healthy, I think the Lakers are primed to make another run at a title. They brought in Westbrook and a bunch of veterans. I think they're the oldest team in the NBA by, you know, average age, but I think they're gonna, you know, challenge for an NBA final spot this year. At number seven, I have Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard is just another great basketball player. I just think he hasn't been able to get it done as much as people would like in Portland. And he's someone that could be on the trading block, you know, so look for him to possibly be moved, possibly be traded. But he is just an absolute stud of a basketball player at the point guard position for the Portland Trailblazers. At my number eight spot, I have last year's MVP, Nikola Jokic. He is a 7-footer. He is not the most athletic dude, but he can just get it done. And he is a very skilled basketball player. He's a good passing center. He's a great rebounder. He's got the in-between game. He finishes at the rim. So the guy is just a great, great basketball player. So Nikola Jokic at number eight for the Denver Nuggets. And he gets his running mate back with Jamal Murray this year. So that should help him out a lot. Number nine, I have Jason Tatum. I think Jason Tatum is ready to take that next step. I think he is not quite a superstar, but he is on the brink of becoming one. I think he's an all-star year in and year out. And again, he's another young guy, but gets it done. He can do it all. He can defend. He can shoot. He can finish at the rim, and he gets his teammates involved. So I think Jason Tatum at number nine is primed to take that next jump. And then at number 10, as long as he stays healthy, he's kind of like in the Anthony Davis camp. We have basically a true center with Jokic on the board, and we have Joel Embiid on the board. I think him and the Philadelphia 76ers, I have no idea what's going to happen with Ben Simmons. He was suspended the first game. He doesn't want to be there. Philadelphia doesn't really want him. It's kind of up in the air with what is going to happen with Ben Simmons. But that's Joel Embiid's team. And if Philadelphia can cash in and get something quality back for Ben Simmons, I think that's the move they should make. And the Cavs are rumored to be one of those teams that really wants Ben Simmons. So I will take that trade if we can get him. I don't know what it's going to cost us, but I think the Cavs would be a nice landing spot if they could get Ben Simmons. Now, Joe, let me ask you one NBA note real quick. Sure. Oh, and before I move on to that question, I probably would have James Harden kind of like as the next guy on that list. I just didn't put him on my screen. So let me ask you a quick question. Sure. About Kyrie Irving. So have you heard any of the stuff?
No.
Okay.
Nothing at all.
So there is a problem right now with Kyrie Irving, and we all know that he's a weird dude. He's just a weird dude. You know, for a while he put it out there. He was kind of trolling people about the flat earth stuff. He is very opinionated. He speaks his mind, which good for him. He speaks his mind, but, he is an anti-vax person, and I don't want to get into the politics of it. and you know, whether you should or shouldn't. But you know, that's your own right. That's your own opinion. I personally think, you know, get vaccinated if you're able to, but again, that's a whole nother issue. But Kyrie Irving is not vaccinated. Now, again, it's not the, an NBA problem. He plays in the city of New York, though. In New York, to play in an indoor environment, you must be fully vaccinated. So he cannot play any home games for the Brooklyn Nets. He has threatened retirement. He has threatened some other things, and he's been outspoken on this. And the NBA came out and basically said, this is not an NBA versus Kyrie issue. This is a state of New York, city of New York City issue with Kyrie Irving. So what are your thoughts on kind of what I laid out there?
So, I mean, it's really good to see that like somebody has the conviction of their principles. I mean, that's really nice to be able to see, you know, a guy willing to give up like millions of dollars worth of, you know, playing time in order to, you know,
for he's still being paid.
Oh, he still gets paid.
He's still getting paid.
That's interesting.
Cause it's not an injury and it's his right technically. So I don't know the contract language. Maybe he doesn't get the full, but I mean, he's getting his money from what I understand.
Interesting. Well, so, what I'd really like to see on those off days where he can't play basketball, him and Kanye can go off and do some kind of like sitcom about Flat Earth. That would be interesting. Yes, I'd watch that.
Yeah. I think Kanye's in LA though. So, and but LA is really strict though too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like Newsom has him pretty locked down out there too. So I'm torn on this because here's the Nets don't want to half asset, let's say. They don't want to say, well, you can play for us in this anywhere else but the state of New York or California. You know, so if we're playing the Dallas Mavericks, just come join our team. You know, he's a great player. He can just jump in and, you know, score you some points. But the Nets are treating it as you're either all in or you're all out. And I kind of like that approach from the team as well. And this is a team that one of the owners lives out in San Diego. One of the owners is Jay-Z of the team. And I, their stance is kind of like, you're either all in or you're all out. So what do you think about that?
Yeah. I mean, I can see them doing that. I mean, here's the thing. Like, I don't like when anybody is forced into a medical decision. That would be really rough to be able to advocate for that. So as long as the dude knows the consequences for not, he's willing to accept them. I mean, you can't fault him for that, you know?
Okay. Okay, that's fair. That's I am under the thinking of, you know, this is a team sport. Like, again, it's a personal decision.
Right.
So I'm just so torn on it. I think one thing one day and another thing the other day. But let me bring up this piece of news. Did you hear the state of Washington made it so any public employee of the state of Washington, if you were not vaccinated and did not have a religious or medical exemption, you'd be fired starting today or yesterday, I believe. And Washington State football, who big program, Pac-12 football, fired their head coach and four assistant coaches this morning. What do you think about that?
Well, if it were me,
did you know this was going to be a vaccine
show? No, I had no idea. But I'll tell you this: like, if I were Kyrie's position or whatever, I'd be searching for some religious institution, right, and be joining that sucker right and saying, "Hey, I'm a member of the blah blah blah."
Style. I would exactly. You know what? You might want to. I mean,
I might start
toe
a religion.
The line.
I might start a religion.
Become a Scientologist overnight,
specifically so that NBA players and football players can join with religious exemption.
You can read the biblical verses of L. Ron Hubbard. And,
there you go. Like, make it weird, and then Kanye can join us again.
So yeah, I love in this show we've referenced Ron L. Hubbard,
right?
We've referenced Kanye,
right?
Jay-Z, who else? There's been some others down there. So
we got weird quick.
It got weird, and
what did I tell you at the start of the show? I was gonna curveball you and throw you off your game no matter what.
Love it. Love it. So here's the graphic of that. So his name is Nick Rolovich. So him and four coaches were fired this morning. And of all places, I saw that on the Today Show this morning. I had no idea about it. saw it on the Today Show, and I looked more into it, and they just are straight off campus.
Wow.
Did they give him the, like, you think they gave him the cardboard box at least to put his belonging in? So, which, you know, okay, and that's, let me just talk about that real quick. So this is way off topic, but if you get fired from a job, you know, you always see it on the movies or TV shows or whatever. They just give you that little dinky cardboard
the anchor
box.
Man
That's
box.
Not enough shit to put all your stuff.
20 years of accumulation. Yeah, and you get like what?
Be like, how about give me a wheelbarrow or something?
Yes, right. Moving
wheel
truck.
This shit out. Yeah. So, you know, never a dull moment. Here is a great troll, by the way. I referenced Purdue and Iowa earlier this week. So Purdue posted on their Twitter after they go into Iowa, beat the number two Hawkeyes. They said, "We just beat the number two out of Iowa."
Well done.
Well Purdue. Done, Purdue. Well done. So a couple graphics that we're not going to get to, but I want to mention Boston. Boston is up 2-1 over the Houston Astros right now. They play tonight. And in the NL, Atlanta is up 2-0 on the Dodgers, which I picked either the Dodgers or the Giants, whoever came out of that series to win the whole thing. But if a team can upset the Dodgers, I will gladly take that. So if Atlanta can knock them off, that would be phenomenal. And then in the, we don't talk WNBA a whole lot, but they just had their championship, and the Chicago, I believe it's Chicago Sky, won the WNBA title. So congratulations to them. But that got me thinking, the WNBA has a lot of, and I don't know if it's like a more feminine or softer sounding nicknames, but they have a lot of, we've referenced this once or twice on the show before, like the Notre Dame Fighting Irish doesn't end in an S. Like, you know, most teams end in S, the Browns, the Cavs, the Indians, the Guardians, the Buckeyes, whatever it might be. I would say probably 95% of team nicknames, mascot, whatever, and in the letter S. Now, again, that got me thinking because I saw the WNBA and it was the Sky, and I forget, I think it might have been the Lynx or somebody else, but it was another team that did not end in an S. And then I looked through the WNBA team names, and most of them are, you know, singular sounding. So we are going to do a draft on Thursday dealing with sort of a challenge of NBA, MLB, college football, NFL, all that stuff with singular non-teams or teams that do not end with S. We're going to do a little draft on Thursday and have a little fun with that in addition to our Browns preview and Ohio State preview since they were on bye. So should be fun. We'll look forward to that. Anything else before we sign off? Okay. All right. Well, for Joe, I'm Justin. We will see you guys on we'll see you on Thursday. I can't even remember what day it is right now, but you know, it is what it is. So anyway, we'll see you guys and we'll be back on Thursday at 3:30.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing.